Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast in which I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. I am not discussing a random episode of Star Trek today, but I will be discussing things with a non-random guest. I am going to be discussing the latest Star Trek news, and there has been a heapin' helpin' of it with my personal friend and your internet pal, Jason Snell. Jason, how are you?
Hello, personal friend, Scott McNulty. For those who don't know, for those who don't know, who are listening to Random Trek and don't know this, I don't know how they would not know this, but we do a show about Star Trek Discovery after the episodes air, generally, mm-hmm. When it's in season on the TV podcast here at the Incomparable Network. But, so if you've missed that, get on it.
Yeah, but what's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's right. And for the rest of everybody else, hi, it's Random Trek. I've been on a few times. I was in episode one, and now we're back because there's so much happening in the world of Star Trek. Scott, remember when it was all sleepy times and nobody did anything and there was nothing going on? Well, that's not true anymore.
Nobody cared.
No.
There were books and comic books, and you could stream everything, but that was it.
Yeah, that was no pretty movies. Much it. Those days are over.
Those days are over. Now, I have heard... so recently, folks listening probably know this, but there was a big Star Trek convention called Star Trek Las Vegas.
Star Trek Las Vegas, yes. Not the name of a new Star Trek series, although my friend Mike Hurley, my personal friend Mike Hurley from the Upgrade podcast, thought that because he doesn't know anything about Star Trek, he read all that news and he was like, so there's a new show called Star Trek Las Vegas? Like, no, that's a convention. It's not a show.
Yes, I was listening to that episode and I laughed and laughed when I heard that because he was like, well, there you go, Patrick Stewart going to be back on this new show, Star Trek Las Vegas.
That's right. He plays the manager of a casino.
Yes, he doesn't play Jean-Luc Picard. It's a different character.
Yeah, it's his cousin, his identical cousin.
That's right.
Ronnie Picard, yeah.
Good old Ronnie Picard. yeah, so there's been a lot of news there. And of course, so the other news that didn't happen in... We'll start with the non-Las Vegas-based news.
Okay, all right.
Which is shocking no one. Star Trek Discovery has a second season. They posted a little teaser trailer of it to tell us all the things that are happening. Well, actually, it doesn't tell you anything that's happening, but it shows you Captain Pike, and I forget the actor's name.
Anson Mount playing Pike, and it definitely got a little vibe where he had been watching. I think he watched The Cage and was trying to get a little bit of a Jeffrey Hunter kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I thought from the brief dialogue we get there, I'm encouraged that we're gonna see, I think Pike has always been an interesting character, and Bruce Greenwood was did a good Pike as a father figure for Kirk in the J.J. Abrams alternate universe movies, and so we'll see how Anson Mount does. He also is wearing a gold shirt.
Yes, I wanted to talk about that. That was the most... So, we talked about the spoiler alerts for Discovery. If you haven't watched Discovery, we're going to talk about what happened in the final episode of the first season. It ends with them meeting the Enterprise, basically. And we thought, well, maybe we won't even see what's in the Enterprise. Maybe it's just like, hey, what's up? And then they go away. But we have this trailer tells us not only do they... go on to the Enterprise, so we see the Enterprise, but people from the Enterprise come to the Discovery, so we see what they're wearing and what everything looks like. Because that was the big question, right? Is like, will it look like... some people thought, well, perhaps it will look like the 1960s Enterprise, which seemed doubtful to me, mm-hmm. but, there was hope, I suppose. Other folks thought, well, will the uniforms look like the fancy pants Discovery uniforms? And the answer is no. They look like updated original series uniforms, kind of like a cross between the movie uniforms and the original series uniforms.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, look, it reminded me of a cross between the Star Trek. I'm completely blanking. How you got to kick me off Random Trek? Star Trek Beyond uniforms and the original mm-hmm. series uniforms, because I got some. They got some neck, some collar, weird collar action going on. But it's red. There's I think purposefully in the trailer you can see somebody wearing a red one and a blue one, and Pike wearing the gold one. So you know that they're doing the full on tricolor thing. Although there's another shot where he's wearing a Discovery uniform. So I think presumably when Pike comes on board the Discovery for season two and temporarily takes over as captain of the ship, which seems to be the plot. It's just a trailer. Who knows? He gets to wear the blue Discovery outfit. They don't keep him in his gold.
Which leaves many questions. Why does the Enterprise have its own uniforms? Does the Discovery have it? Does every ship have its own uniforms?
I hope there's dialogue, because nobody wants more dialogue than me about people's clothing choices on Star Trek.
I will say, people, of course, so the wonderful thing about all of this new Star Trek is that there's new Star Trek. The downside to it is that cranky people get cranky about various choices, because if there's new Star Trek, that means that people other than people who have made past Star Trek have to make decisions about Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And that makes people who aren't making those decisions upset for reasons that are unknown to me, and so they are angry about these uniforms and everything.
I imagine people were angry about Enterprise doing the same thing, and of course I know for a fact that people were angry about Next Generation saying, here's what happens with the Klingons. And it's like, because you are I mean, we made this joke when we were doing our Vulcan Hello podcast about Discovery, that this stuff that is going to infuriate people, it is, but like the moment it's on screen, that's Star Trek canon now. Like, there's nothing, you cannot like it, but too bad, it's canon. Put it in memory alpha. I'm gonna wait here. Put it in memory alpha now.
That's right. It moves from a memory beta to memory alpha, because it is canon, people. And one of the things that I enjoy as someone who is too invested in Star Trek is the amount of inconsistency in the uniforms throughout the series anyway. So anything that adds even more inconsistent uniforms pleases me greatly, because the original series was just a mess with the weird uniforms they had. So I say, bring that back. Yeah. Just everybody has their own uniform. I feel like in Starfleet, you just
are... It's not a uniform, then? If you're on a ship, you should probably be wearing the same outfit.
But like, yes, everyone ships on the ship agrees to their communal uniform choice, and they stick to it, but every other ship has its own. That's my headcanon.
It could be. That's I mean, really, why not? It seems to be, there seems to be some truth in that. But it is fun to know. I it sounds like we're going to get to see number one, who was played by Majel Barrett. We get Anson Mount. And of course, the big question is, what about Spock? The trailer plays up that the season may be a search for Spock, because he's not there apparently when the Discovery runs into the Enterprise. But this was finally the thing that pushed this over the edge, where we decided to record this. That they did announce today that they have cast somebody to play adult Spock, and it's Ethan Peck. Mm-hmm. So he will be, really the third Spock actor after Leonard Nimoy and Zachary Quinto. So that's, and it's Gregory Peck's grandson, with a little movie connection there too, which is kind of fun.
That's right. And I thought it was funny, they talked about in the press release, like, they mentioned that Gregory Peck was like in some movie with some other Star Trek actor, so clearly there must be some connection.
Yeah, there was that picture too of him with the Nimoy family, which includes Terry Farrell, Dax from Deep Space Nine, because she married Adam Nimoy.
Yes.
Leonard Nimoy's son. So it's all Star Trek family, but that's nice. And Ethan Peck seems to have, I know nothing about him as an actor, but he's got really good eyebrows, which unfortunately, presumably, he now has to cover up with Vulcan eyebrows, but it's like a good start. He's got good eyebrow game.
He does. He has, I'm looking at a picture of his face, which is kind of creepy, I suppose. But
you've written on it, dear Spock. I love you, Scott.
But no, I'm looking at his face. I can see why they cast him. He has a Spock look about him.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about him other than that he is Gregory Peck's grandson, and now he will be Spock's. But good luck for him. Yeah. And that was our Jason, you and I talked about how we thought that perhaps this whole season would be, we've got to find Spock. Where's Spock? We've misplaced Spock.
Yeah, it's a little like our theory about the Enterprise, which is like, hey, that was a good conversation we had with all the people on the Enterprise, but now it's time to start season two, right?
Yes,
it would be like, Spock, you just missed him. He's gone. You just missed him. It's like, no, we're going to actually see Spock.
No, Spock will be here. Although this could be kind of like a double fake out in that they've cast him. He will be in it, but he'll only be in like the end of the last episode.
They've been shooting for weeks, so it's entirely possible. It actually seems to me that if I were to place a guess, we would not see Spock in Star Trek Discovery season 2 until fairly late in the season. Maybe not the end, but like they've been shooting for a while now, so it wouldn't surprise me if he shows up 4, 5, 6 episodes in. Not at all.
Yeah, because it seems like the thrust, at least from this trailer, and what do we know, the trailer could be lying to us, is that these red things are appearing and they're connected to Spock somehow, and they have to find Spock. Spock is somewhere. We don't know where he is.
Yeah.
With his eyebrows somewhere. So that's the Discovery news, right? Second season, we've got a Spock. Rebecca Romijn. I was going to call Rebecca Romijn Stamos, but I think she's
Rebecca not married Romijn to John Stamos anymore. Rebecca Romijn is going to be number one.
Which is exciting. She's a good actress.
I've always been intrigued by that character, right? Because then they recast Majel Barrett as Nurse Chapel, but Gene Roddenberry did. Gene Roddenberry was having an affair with her and wanted to put her in all of his shows, and they didn't like that character, so he just brought her back as Christine Chapel instead. But number one was always interesting because it was very much the competent woman on the bridge of the starship, and that was like controversial, and the network was like, no, you're not going to do that. And so they got rid of her, but now we're going to get Rebecca Romijn as that character. And you know, again, it'll be just, we know so little about this era of Star Trek canonically, and they're going to create some, again, update those pages, get ready, warm up the memory alpha, those pages are all going to get updated. There's the tidbit, the other Discovery news sort of is the Short Treks thing, right? Which is that they're in order to get you to spend for more months of CBS All Access, because come on, who are we kidding? They're going to do four, what they're calling short films, which I think used to be called webisodes, that are 10 to 15 minutes long, that are going to roll out this fall, because Discovery is not coming back until early next year. I would guess it probably will be January, but maybe it'll be February. That they're going to have to sort of like keep us to begin engaging us in new Star Trek stuff. So there's a Harry Mudd one, there's a Saru one, there's a Tilly one, and there's another one that's with a character that we don't actually know him, but it's presumably there will be a Star Trek reveal that happens as a part of that. So that's kind of interesting, but it also is very much like, keep paying for all access, please.
It's worth it. Keep paying.
But I like the idea of like, well, we're going to make a canonical, you know, or a real thing that's like a 10-minute movie with Rainn Wilson as Harry Mudd in it. And it's like, sure, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and I think that I continue to pay for CBS All Access, even though there is no Star Trek currently. So I say more Star Trek, please, CBS.
Well, funny you should mention that, because, and you and I think talked about this at one point during Vulcan Hello, the idea that ultimately, if you're CBS All Access, once you get the Star Trek machine kind of up and running, you kind of want to do what Netflix does with the Marvel shows, which is have a bunch of them and cycle them through so that you've kind of always got a Star Trek show going on, or there's one coming up. And there was at the, I think, Television Critics Association, the person in charge of CBS All Access basically said that like the goal here is to always have some kind of Star Trek program on the way so that you stay subscribed to CBS All Access. And they made their first announcement there. There have been rumors about that they were doing other stuff. There's been a rumor for a while now that they've been working on, I think Nicholas Meyer, right, was working on something that is rumored to be Khan related, like a mini series about like Khan and his people trying to set up their utopia on SETI Alpha 5, and that doesn't go well. But you know, there's been rumblings about that. And then there was this other weird thing, which was that Patrick Stewart at some point was asked at a convention if he'd seen Star Trek Discovery, and he said he hadn't, but he anticipated he might need to catch up with that pretty soon. And everybody was like, what? What does that mean? And it turns out that depending on who you ask, CBS All Access producers and specifically Kurtzman, right? Alex Kurtzman, who's basically like the Rick Berman of Star Trek now, of modern Star Trek. His production company's basically been handed the keys to Star Trek and producing Star Trek content for CBS All Access. Well, anyway, he and some of his writers met with Patrick Stewart and like we're trying to convince him to revisit Picard. And depending on who you hear, either they came up on a set of story ideas that Patrick Stewart was enthusiastic about, or they backed up another truck of money to his house and unloaded that money on top of the already pile of cash that was there from the first truck. And then Patrick Stewart went, okay, either I do want to re-engage with Captain Picard. Either way, right. Though. Yeah, either way.
Funny you Captain should Picard. Mention it. Captain Picard, yes.
Yes, I remember him now. I believe it's probably a bit of both, right?
Like I think so.
Because, I mean, we've seen him reprise Professor X in so many different places in these X-Men movies. And I always thought, like, why not do that with Picard? And it seems like that's really the conversation they had is, what would it be? Where would it be? Mm-hmm. He probably was like, I don't, you know, I'm not doing 26 episodes of something anymore. And they're like, no, it's streaming now. We'll do
six.
We
don't do that anymore.
We'll do eight. and it's unclear, like, is it an ongoing series? Is it a limited series? Nobody really knows. But the deal is done. Like, they're going to make a show with Captain happening. Picard in it.
Yeah, I before we started, I watched the announcement at Star Trek Las Vegas where Kurtzman, right. He was on stage and he said, "Oh,
I want a casino." Oh, sorry, exactly. I got confused again about Star Trek Las Vegas.
And he said, "Oh, I want to share with you some exciting news about the next Star Trek show, but I don't really think I'm the right person." So I asked my friend to do it, and then of course they have like the shuttle bay doors there, or the holodeck doors, and they open. It's Patrick Stewart, and everybody goes crazy. And he tells this story about how he said basically he never wanted to do another Captain Picard thing ever again
because he was in Nemesis, and he was like, "This is it. I'm done."
Pretty much, he did mention Nemesis by name, but his point was that he went out to talk to some director about a movie that he wanted to play like a small part in, but because he really liked the movie, and the director said, "Well, I'm a big fan of your work. I think you're a fantastic actor, but why would I want Captain Picard in my movie?" And Patrick Stewart did not like to hear that, so he decided. My time as Patrick he's still Patrick Stewart. My time as Captain Picard is over. I will be Patrick Stewart. And then he said that he still liked getting people who talked to him and said, "Oh, Star Trek really saved my life. Thank you for all of your work. And, you know, without Star Trek, I don't know if I would still be here," and all that. And so he enjoyed hearing that. And then these conversations happened and a big dump truck of money showed up. Mm-hmm. And I think also the thing that happened is, I think you're right, Jason, that he was probably thinking, "Oh, I have to do, if I'm going to do Captain Picard on a TV show, I have to do 26 episodes, and that's crazy. And I won't have much, you know, say over what's happening," one imagines. Although I think, I don't know anything about the deal, but I'm going to assume that Captain Patrick Stewart is quite involved in the stories.
I predict a producer credit is coming his way,
yes,
right?
I think so. Because he did say that it's going to be quite different. You're going to see a different Jean-Luc Picard.
A streaming world is different. I think you know, the idea that, okay, we're not going to make another movie with Captain Picard, so forget it, then there's nothing I could do because I'm not going to go back mm-hmm. and do a show like that. And these days, the streaming, you know, series, they're like movies. I just listened to an interview with Marty Noxon, who used to be a Buffy producer and has a couple of shows. She's got a cable, like a basic cable show and an HBO show. And she said the HBO show, it's like a movie, right? And they're like, there are TV shows with production values that it's basically like a movie. And I suspect that's what they said to Patrick Stewart. It is. We're going to give you money that's going to be like movie money, but it's going to be for 8 hours instead of 2 hours. So you'll have to shoot for longer, and it'll be a show, but it's not the grind. And we can tell, you know, presumably we'll tell one story instead of having it be mm-hmm. the various adventures of Jean-Luc Picard. Whatever the rationale, and it's been 20 years, right? So I think that it maybe intrigued him of like, where would Picard go? All we really know is, we were all joking about the end of All Good Things, right? Where he's out in the vineyard and Geordi comes mm-hmm. to visit, which my wife said, "I'll watch that show. I want like various people come visit Picard while he's at the vineyard." And like Geordi just comes and they hang out and they share some stories. She said, "I'll watch that." And I said, "Yeah, quite frankly, I would watch that show. I would. All Good Things, the television mm-hmm. series.
Sign me up. 8 episodes. I'll watch it all."
Yeah. This week, Data comes by. Whatever.
And he brings his cat. I'm intrigued to see what they come up with, because I think that listening to Patrick Stewart talk about it is clear that he doesn't want it to be, and who knows what it'll end up being, but it doesn't want it to be him in charge of a starship having adventures. I think he probably wants a much more intimate story examining what happens to a man who's dedicated his life to one thing, and that thing is over. Much like, you know, the later original series movies looked at kind of the mortality of Captain Kirk and his his decisions as he got into old age, and thinking about, has he given up? Did he give up the right things? Did he do the right things? And made him a much more interesting character. And I assume that's what they will want to explore in this series.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of different ways they could go with it. Just the stuff that I thought of, other than the funny ones, the other one being that he's now just, he travels from planet to planet selling restaurants on Chateau Picard wine. Like, he's a wine salesman, which would be, you know, but then maybe there's an adventure there. But the idea would be, like, he doesn't have to be, somebody said he has to be an admiral or something. It's like, well, does he? Maybe he was captain for a long time and then he retired, or maybe he was an admiral and he didn't like that, or maybe he was an ambassador, maybe he still is, maybe he is happy in his job, maybe he's unhappy, maybe he's retired and is being called back because there's something only he can do and that he has to go back. I mean, there's so many different options for, like, where is Jean-Luc Picard 20 years later, and all good things was one possible future, but it's like there's so many different places he could go. I gotta wonder if he was thinking about, like, in the movie Logan, you know, it's very much Professor X at the very end of his life, and it's a very difficult performance because he's not well and he's dying, but it's a very great, it's a great performance by Stewart, and so emotional and just so well done. And, you know, that's the sort of thing of, like, isn't that interesting to pick up a character that you've played for a decade or more and think about what is his life like now all this time later? Like, I could see why that would intrigue him. And it isn't just Star Trek Next Generation, where Admiral Picard walks on the Enterprise F and says, oh, what a nice ship you have here, kind of thing, right? That's not what he wants to do. And I don't know if I want to see that anyway.
Yeah, I don't think part of me, I'm excited that there will be a new Captain Picard adventures, or Ambassador Picard, or, you know, Dixon Hill, the holodeck stories, whatever they end up with. I'm excited to watch it. The other part of me, though, is kind of like, well, do we really need to revisit yet another character that we have already kind of, they gave a good, complete end of story to? Wouldn't it be better to explore something new? But I do think it's smart on CBS's part, because, you know, it got people very excited, and people want the Patrick Stewart back, and people love Captain Picard, so it makes complete sense to me. And also, it's interesting because this will be the Star Trek show that is the furthest in the future than we have ever been before. So a lot has happened. Even, I'm sure Patrick Stewart doesn't know any of the things that have happened in universe in Star Trek, but a lot has happened in those 20 years as well, right? With the Dominion War, and so the Federation is quite different as well. So I'm intrigued to see if they will do anything with that.
Right. The furthest forward we've seen that is sort of official and not just a possible future time travel stuff is the end of Voyager, or is it Nemesis? But either way, it's like it's back. I'm sure somebody out there is screaming that we don't know this, but, like, it's the end of that, and this is going to be way past that. Mm-hmm. And in my pursuant to my previous statements about warming up Memory Alpha, like, this too will be canonical, right? But it will be at the other end of canon, not coloring in the blanks or coloring in the gaps, filling in the little tiny little bits in between various Star Trek shows. But it's like, what happened 20 years after Voyager and Nemesis? What happened then? And I'm really excited about that. I would hope that the producers of Star Trek at CBS All Access, as a part of this, are also thinking, like, what worlds do we want Picard to inhabit? Because you'd think that if you were going to do this, you'd have some thoughts about where you go from here. Even if, like, the Picard thing ends up being a miniseries, it lets you sort of set up a world that you could put a next generation show in. I'm not sure that what they're going to do with Patrick Stewart is going to function like a, you know, a backdoor pilot kind of thing to set up another series. But there's clearly they have the desire to do more Star Trek because they want essentially year-round Star Trek. And one way to do that, one place to do that would be to do that new Star Trek show that's set beyond the canon that's been established, like Next Generation was back in the day. So if I were on the staff, and they are so populated with Star Trek fans that I'm sure that they've all had this conversation. Part of it is, how do we set this up so that if we want to do a show in this era, what does that look like? And what is the world like then? So they're making kind of important decisions about what Star Trek looks like, the world of Star Trek in this era, which I'm excited about that prospect too. Just the idea that this could be, you know, this is opening up this unseen era and that it may not be the only time we see it.
Yeah, I mean, they can do anything, right? Because nothing has... I mean, I guess there are probably a bunch of books and things that are set in this time period, but...
That's memory beta stuff. Just
exactly. They don't really count. So who knows what's happening? And I mean, Patrick... I keep interchanging Captain Picard and Patrick Stewart, but Captain Picard as a character has had a lot that has gone on with him. So, you know, he's been assimilated by the Borg. He killed his own clone.
Yeah, he lost his family.
He lost his family.
The horrible fire and all that, yeah.
And watching his adventures, he's never really taken a moment to think about the repercussions of these things. He just keeps going on. So I imagine that they will delve into what does a man like Captain... if I were writing this, I would think it would... The interesting story is, you know, his career, his military career is over. He's no longer an admiral or a captain or whatever. And now what does he do? What does Captain Picard do when he's not a captain? And he has to figure out, you know, he's not going to sit in his vineyard and stare at the grapes. So what is he going to do? Is he going to go become an archaeologist and have, you know, become Indiana Jones? Or is he going to be an ambassador? There's anything that he could do. So,
yeah, and we may see him doing that, or we may see him sort of where he ended up. And then something happens to tell a story where he has to kind of like be reminded of things from his past. What do you think about the possibility that we may see other characters from the, you know, TNG DS9 Voyager era who would have, you know, obviously have aged along with everybody else since the 90s and you're 20 years older, but they could bring in other characters if they wanted to.
Yeah, I think that they would be foolish if they weren't going to be. I'd be surprised if there isn't at least one cameo. I would imagine more, but it would also, it's another thing we talked about this when before Discovery came out, where it's a fine line between, you know, having some fun and making it in service to the story and still making the fans happy, and then just making it, you know, like Captain Picard, this is your life, let's meet every single person who was on the Next Generation, just because we know Star Trek fans will be excited to see Captain Picard and Guinan together again.
Right. Mr. Mod has come by. Oh boy.
Exactly.
He's going to give you a haircut. You have no hair left. Oh, Mr. Mod, we'll just drink some wine. That's why he's here.
But that being said, I think that there are some, you know, obvious choices to have pop up. Like, for example, perhaps Q will come by and do something, because Captain Picard and Q have always had this interesting relationship. I imagine having Captain Janeway, or I guess Admiral Janeway at that point, I would guess she might show up. Who knows?
That's what I was thinking, is that if you do have something that's kind of setting off the story where he has to go, you know, the thing that drives this forward, assuming it's not going to be entirely just the musings of the life of late in life of Jean-Luc Picard, but that there's more to it than that, in terms of story, that instead of getting a random admiral or ambassador or envoy or something, that it would be Janeway or Sisko or Worf or, you know, or Riker or something like that, where you would be able to tip your cap and say, here's another little character from that era. Because that's the challenge with all this stuff, whether you're plumbing the canon of the early days like Discovery, or whether you're doing something like this where you're revisiting a character, it is Star Trek, and, you know, you could make a brand new space show and call it Star Trek and have literally no references to the past on Star Trek. But would it be Star Trek then? It would be weird, right? Like, it's part of it would be to show the how it's connected to the on 50 years plus ongoing kind of tapestry of Star Trek. You got to have some of it without it being, you know, falling into the pit of just being about self-reference, which is the thing that worries me about Discovery Season 2, right? Is like, if Discovery Season 2 is really all about Pike and Spock and how they interact with the Discovery crew, like, you know, is it what are you showing us that's new? You got to walk that line where it can't just be, isn't it fun that right. that we're finding Spock?
Mm-hmm. It has to be, that's what I'm saying, it has to be just enough to make it interesting, but it can't overwhelm the new stuff. Like, that's my biggest fear with having another Captain Picard show, is that, you know, we've already seen a lot of Captain Picard. Is there more there? I think the answer is yes, there is, but it could easily be something that is not satisfying and just, you know, Captain Picard sitting around the table with Beverly Crusher talking about, you know, tap dancing or something. Although I would watch that as well.
Again,
so, but still,
that's right. And if he is just selling wine in various restaurants, he can go visit Jake Sisko in New Orleans, sell him a case of his finest vintage, and then they'll just sit there and drink some wine and tell some stories, and that would be okay.
Quarks.
It is. I mean, that is the line that all these shows have to walk: is how do you make it Star Trek and make it connected, but also do your own thing and be your own thing. And that's the thing. When I've talked about that, the Khan miniseries idea, people seem really resistant. Like, why would they do that? I think Star Trek Into Darkness is part of it, where they're like, why do they keep going over Khan? And they told that story. I think that Khan miniseries could be great, because in my head, what it is it's a story about a bunch of genetically engineered super people who have decided to, who have been dropped on a planet that is fertile and they're going to build a utopia. They are gods, essentially, creating their utopia. And it would be interesting to see how you set about doing that. What are the interpersonal clashes? And hanging over the whole thing is our knowledge that they're doomed, and we know how this story ends. I think that could be really interesting. I think it could be screwed up, because every good idea can be made badly, right? I'm not saying it's a sure thing, but like, that is interesting. And that is a story that has not been told in Star Trek in that kind of detail, and is still notably Star Trek because it's Khan and his super people, but also, you know, maybe a little bit an interesting little side story. So I'd watch that. And I kind of like the idea of them doing some little bits, like not just the 10-minute things, but like, we're going to do 8 episodes here and 6 episodes here or 10 episodes here, and maybe it'll come back or maybe it'll have a sequel. But like, unlike Discovery, which is clearly an ongoing concern, they can experiment with some other formats because they're streaming, and that could be cool, because that's going to get us things that would never have had a place either in the movies or on TV before.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm most excited about, because they don't have this pressure of certainly a movie with hundreds of millions of dollars at stake here. I mean, of course, there's a lot of money involved, but it's lower risk, especially since the way CBS has been rolling out Discovery. I assume they will do the same with the Captain Picard show, is, you know, sell the rights to somebody else, then basically covers the production costs.
Right.
So you can risk doing some wacky stuff and still not hurt your bottom line, and get some people to pay you money to see this thing. And so I hope that they will take that opportunity, and we will see some non-starship-based Star Trek,
totally.
Which I assume the Captain Picard series, will not be on a starship, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Well,
I don't think they know anything about it.
He might ride on a starship or something, but I don't imagine that it's going to be like the last voyage of Captain Picard as a captain of a starship or something, like
his farewell tour.
I don't imagine that will be that. I guess it could be anything, but yeah, I agree. That's the flexibility of streaming, and the idea that you want to build a broader kind of set of stuff for a Star Trek audience on All Access or wherever else it is. My understanding, by the way, is that Discovery and anything that could be perceived as a spinoff from Discovery, the deal there is that Netflix basically has the rights outside of the US and Canada to pick that up. Other new stuff that's Star Trek related is they're free to do what they want. And it sounds like the only reason that's a wrinkle is that it's possible that CBS wants to launch a version of All Access in other countries. And they might bring other projects like the Patrick Stewart thing along with them in those countries if they decide to do that. But it's unclear how they would roll that out, because that's going to be, you know, that's a tough, competing internationally is a tough market to be in. But they could if they want to try. But I imagine it will be available everywhere. It just may be, you know, may be on Netflix in your country if you're not in the US or Canada, or it may be somewhere else. Who knows? But the Discovery stuff will stay on Netflix. And here in the US, CBS All Access is so you
just
can
pay for
watch
it,
all of your Big Bang Theories and your Young Sheldons and your good Fights, which people like. Yeah. And there's some other show, I think, that they're putting
they
on.
They have
that,
something else. Yeah, I don't
that
know.
Is, that what that is. I think I heard something good about. So, yeah. That's good, but it is weird. You know, we didn't mention that's the other Star Trek news because it seems so far away and nebulous. But they are supposedly making a fourth J.J. Abrams produced Star Trek movie. It's got a director who, and I can't remember her name now, but she was the one who directed Collateral, which is a great Netflix series starring Carey Mulligan that people should watch. It's really great, and that director is attached. And apparently, they have a screenplay. The problem is that Viacom and Paramount are concerned about how much money Star Trek movies make these days, because they seem to not make the money that a Star Wars or a Marvel movie makes, because Star Trek is not as popular internationally. And so they're trying to lowball Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth, who are supposed to star in that, because it's supposed to be a time travel-y Kirk meets his father kind of thing. And so, you know, they claim that they've walked away from the negotiation table or something like that, which I think is, and they're like, oh, we may recast. I'm like, that's not going to happen. Come on.
This is all part of their negotiations.
I think
right?
so. I think it's all just a ploy. But I find it interesting that apparently there are really two Star Trek movies in development at Paramount, because that's like, wow, you know, because they've been awfully quiet there. But apparently they're putting all the groundwork. They've got the director. They've got people working on the screenplay. They've got this. They're trying to get it all in place. And meanwhile, we should also say, Viacom and CBS, both of whom are owned by the sort of same people but are separate companies, there's all sorts of drama going on.
It's
right
so
where
strange.
The Les Moonves, the CEO of CBS, has been accused of sexual harassment, and the CBS board is suing Sherry Redstone, who is like the owner of both companies, because she wants to merge them together, and Viacom and Paramount like is not nearly as successful as CBS. So CBS is like, we don't want it. We don't want it. Don't. And so that's all going on in the background. So I that does affect Star Trek, I think, right now on the movie side, where they're kind of hurting and they're trying to lowball the actors and in making these movies.
And we've talked about this before, that, you know, I welcome new Star Trek movies because I like new Star Trek, period. But I do think that it doesn't work as well in the movie format than it does in the serial TV format. So, this is not to say, I've read some people say, well, I hope that it doesn't happen because I don't like them. I do like them, and I hope it does happen because I want more Star Trek.
Yeah, I would rather... This is crazy, but it's what we've been talking about. I would rather they spend money to get that cast to do an 8-episode season of Star Trek on CBS All Access.
That's not going to happen, Jason.
It's not. No, I mean, because even though movie actors and TV actors are all mixed together now, it's not like it used to be. It seems unlikely that you could get Chris Pine and Zoe Saldana to agree to shoot even like a 6-week long TV series without paying them just too much money.
A lot of money.
That's the thing about that cast. It's a really good cast, but it's an expensive movie cast and not. Mm-hmm. But still, I don't know. Like we live in a weird world where the economics of doing something like that are not that far off. Like,
it's true. You know more about it than I do. It just seems. But the weird thing is what you were just talking about, right? Paramount and Viacom being separate. Like, I don't even know what the legalities of that.
Yeah, well, they couldn't do it. They couldn't, because the JJ Verse stuff is. That's all That's all Viacom. That's all Paramount. So that's the basically the deal is, you know, CBS has television and Paramount has movies, and they kind of don't interact. In fact, it may be not just that they wanted their own actor to be in Discovery as Spock, and it may not be that they like asked Zachary Quinto and said, we don't have that much money to put in a dump truck and drive to your house because we gave it all to Patrick Stewart, but would you consider a cameo in Star Trek Discovery? It actually might not even get to that point, because it may be that they're not legally allowed to talk to somebody who's in the Paramount Star Trek. I don't know.
It's legally distinctive Spock
entities.
Yes,
that's right. We need our own TV Spock. We'll call him TV Spock.
That's right.
So
it's such a weird thing.
But it's more Star Trek, and I agree with you. Like, if there's another Star Trek movie, great. That's fun. I like those movies. They're fun, and they're summer blockbusters, and it's right.
They're trying to do a very different thing. Exactly. They're not trying to tell a very long arcing story. There's some explosions, some fun moments, maybe a touching character moment or two, and then you're done. And that's it. And that's what, if you're expecting more, I mean, people got used to the formula of the original series movies, which was, you know, oh, we're visiting these characters we know and love, and oh, look, they have their foibles and it's great, and then something interesting happens, and oh, is that a whale? That's fun. And then they replicated it with the Next Generation, so you knew them for 7 years, and then you're visiting your pals and happy that they're getting you know, movie money. But maybe. It's different with the J.J., maybe some of them, J.J. Abrams, because, you know, they're rebooting it, and so there was already that kind of resistance to it, but it's trying to do something different, and a lot of people, their biggest complaint is, well, it doesn't feel like Star Trek. And that's okay, it's a different kind of Star Trek, and you don't have to like it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's, you have to understand what it's trying to do. If you don't like it, or don't disagree with it, that's fine, but, you know, it's not for you, and you don't have to like everything that has Star Trek in it.
And I think that is a great, maybe kind of like summation point for this whole conversation we're having, which is, one of the things about Discovery is that it was the new Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that, you know, that is a scenario where all of everybody's hopes and dreams for Star Trek get put on Discovery, because it's the Star Trek show. Mm-hmm. And because we live in this weird streaming universe, because CBS is trying to have more Star Trek, where there's always new Star Trek around the corner, so you might as well keep paying for all access, I think that's good for Star Trek fans. I think it's good for Discovery. I think for Discovery, it means Discovery doesn't have to bear the burden of being the only representative of Star Trek on television, which is a tough burden. I think that Voyager felt that. I think Enterprise mm-hmm. felt that. I think that there are, you know, and today where we've got everybody on the internet with an opinion about it, it's like, it's hard. It's hard to be the only standard bearer. And for people for whom Discovery is not their cup of tea, like, ideally, there will be other flavors of tea, not sponsored by the New Mexico Tea Company this time, but flavors of tea for them, right? Like, it's good for fans too. If there are at any given time three or four new Star Trek TV projects in the hopper, and they're going to become one after another, then if you don't like this Star Trek, that's too bad, but like, just wait and there'll be a different Star Trek.
Another one.
And maybe you'll like that one better. And I think that's good. And if they do it right, the different Star Treks will feel different and give people sort of like different kinds of storytelling possibilities. It's like The Incomparable this summer has been doing the Summer of Marvel, where we watch all those MCU movies. And one thing that has struck me is that at some point a few years in, they realized they needed to make different kinds of movies. Like, they had the ability to make a heist movie, make a comedy, make a wacky sci-fi movie, and not just have everything be the same kind of plot. And it made the movies much better when they realized they could do that. And I think CBS All Access needs to do that too. Show the diversity of what kind of stories could be told in Star Trek, because now you have the ability to do that. You're not doing one or two shows. You've got a varying length, you know, miniseries that are not going to repeat, ongoing series you can build. Like, keep changing it up, and that's good for business. I think it's good for fans, and it's good for CBS.
That's right. I think that what a time to be alive when there's so much possibility and people talking about Star Trek and so much new Star Trek on the horizon. It was a dark time
it
for
was.
A while there.
And the spreadsheet for Random Trek now continues to grow. That's the other thing.
It continues to grow. It's true. It's problematic, but it's a problem that I welcome with open arms. And speaking of welcoming with open arms, I'm going to say goodbye. Jason, thank you for joining me and talking about all the new exciting Star Trek stuff that's happening.
Yes, thank you as well. And I know there'll be more Random Treks coming down the pipe on this, and then people should check out the Vulcan Hello, mm-hmm. the Star Trek Discovery Flashcast, if you didn't know about it. And I think we'll be back, I suspect, when those little short trips films drop. Perhaps we will reappear and have opinions about them, because
yes,
that sounds like us.
It does. And if you have not watched Discovery yet, now is a good time to sign up for a free trial of CBS All Access, watch them all, and cancel.
And and if you don't, I mean, or if you're outside the U.S., it's on Netflix. And if you don't
and the Blu-rays are coming out,
if
too,
If you
right?
don't, yeah, there are Blu-rays of that are finally coming out in, I want to say November, yeah. So other formats and DVD, other formats are available for Discovery soon.